are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go to each table. At least one person share one thing. What is it that folks at this table think that people want to change about their lives? Just name something. It doesn't have to be one thing.
Our behavior, our attitude, not getting upset.
Behavior, attitude, not getting upset.
Worry less and not worry about the future.
Worry less and not worry about the future.
Complaining about things in the community without doing anything about it.
That's great, Stickley. Stickley said, complaining about stuff in the community and not doing anything about it. You guys, what is it? Be more forgiving.
Stop procrastinating and watch your
tongue. My life would dramatically change if I stopped procrastinating and watched my mouth.
Amen.
This table. Generosity, very good.
More Christ-like, I heard.
More Christ-like. All right. Folks in chairs in the back, I'm not going to forget about you. Be better Christians.
Not going down the negative rabbit hole.
That's fantastic. Love it. You guys are great. You guys are really fantastic. Well, today's message is entitled, You Can Change. You Can Change. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're looking at verses 12 through 18. There is so much in these few verses, and I really want to unpack all of it, all of the gems, but I don't want to keep you here until 3 o'clock. But there's some really great stuff in this text. And one reason I love preaching through whole books of the Bible is because sometimes if I didn't, I would skip over certain passages. And when you go through a whole book, it just forces you to look at things that sometimes you've seen before, but you've never really gone deeper into. And so I'm grateful to go deeper into this text today. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this time in your word. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit that as we hear, we might believe, and as we believe, we might obey. God, thank you for the power of your word. Your word accomplishes your purpose and does not return to you void. And so, God, our hearts are open, our minds are open. Do your work in us according to your powerful and precious word. And as always, we give you thanks and praise through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who alone is the Word made flesh. And the people of God who love the Word of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Hear now the Word of God. Therefore, my friends, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, the message is entitled, You Can Change. When you come to our house, you will see that our television, like a lot of homes, is often tuned into one of those home makeover shows. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, okay, good. The kind of show in which they take a run-down, broken-down shack and turn it into an astonishingly beautiful home. Often there are all kinds of problems with the home on the inside and on the outside. And the changes come to those homes only after a great deal of effort and perseverance. I think those shows are popular in part because they speak to something deep within us. They speak to our desire for our lives to change. And when I say for our lives to change, I don't mean to have a different job or to live in a different part of town. What I mean is that we desire to become better people. There's something within us that actually desires to become better human beings. And you may not be aware of all of your flaws and faults, but you have enough awareness of your habits, your proclivities, and your temptations to hunger and thirst for change. When you look into the mirror, when you watch your own life, you have enough awareness to know there are some things about me that are outside the will and the ways and the word of God. There are some things about me, about my behavior, that need to change. And you long for some things about you to change. Amen? In those home renovation shows, when they do the big reveal of the newly renovated house, it always seems to be emotional and heartwarming. Again, it's speaking to our own desire for change. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is in the renovation, renewal, and rescue business. That Jesus takes lives that are broken down by sin and gives them a new heart, new life, a renewed mind, and makes them new creatures. So let me tell you this morning, whatever it is you feel like needs to change in your life, you can change. Let me tell you, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can change. No one within the sound of my voice should ever say about a flaw in their character, well, this is just how I am and I can't change. No, you can change. In our text from Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul shows us the path, the power, and the purpose of change. I hope y'all are okay with alliteration. Last week I used 4 M's, this week 3 P's. The path, the power, and the purpose of change. So we're just going to look at those 3 things and be done this morning. First, I want you to see the path of how to change. Here's the path. Look again at verse 12. Verse 12, the apostle writes, Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed. Somebody say obeyed.
Obeyed.
Say it like you love the word.
Obeyed.
All right. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So here's the path that the Apostle Paul gives us. Here's the path. Putting forth effort to obey the Lord. That's the path of change. Putting forth effort to obey the Lord. It's all about obedience. Paul says here to the Philippians, whether I am with you or not, continue to obey the Lord. The path. Put forth effort to obey the Lord, because the change you seek isn't going to come by you being passive. It isn't going to come by you just doing and living however you want and God just one day zapping you and you've changed. No, it's going to come through your putting forth effort to obey the Lord. It is about obedience. Whether I'm with you or not, Paul says, continue to put forth effort to obey the Lord. And friends, be reminded this morning that obedience is a central teaching of the Bible. The call on human beings to obey God is still in effect. Sometimes in the church today, we act as if obedience is just kind of an Old Testament thing, and we're in the New Testament now, and there's grace and forgiveness, so we don't have to obey, and that's just not true at all. Obedience is still in effect. And I think sometimes we shy away from obedience because we're afraid of sounding judgmental or legalistic, but the Lord still calls us to obedience. Even Jesus said, if you love me, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In Luke chapter 11, the Bible tells us that Jesus was teaching a crowd one day, and out of the crowd, a woman shouted out to Jesus, "Blessed is the woman who gave birth to you and nursed you." And Jesus replied to that woman. He said, "Instead, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and do it." So listen, obedience is still in effect. As a matter of fact, remember our text from last week. Remember the scripture that came right before what we read today in Philippians 2. Last week we read where Paul writes that Jesus has a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is what? That Jesus Christ is what? Say it like you mean it. That Jesus Christ is what? Yeah, that Jesus Christ is Lord. To call Jesus your Lord is to bend the knee in obedience to him. We are still called to obedience. Obedience is the path of change. And this path, again, requires effort. You've got to do this on purpose. It requires effort. And so Paul says in the text, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. Put in effort. Work out your salvation. Now, notice in the text that Paul does not say work for your salvation. That's not what he says. Right? We're not working for salvation. We can never do that. Our salvation is by grace alone. We don't earn it. It's given to us as a gift of grace. He does not say work for salvation. He says work out your salvation. Listen, you can't work something out unless it's already been worked in. Through the gospel, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, salvation has been worked into you by the grace of God. Jesus died as an atoning sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sin. Jesus rose from the dead to give you eternal life. When you put your faith in him and become a Christian, become a disciple of Jesus, the salvation that he died and rose to accomplish is worked into you by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you trust Jesus for salvation, the Holy Spirit makes your human spirit come alive in Christ. And that's what we mean by being born again or becoming a new creature in Christ. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit works into you deep in the deepest place. The Holy Spirit works into you the salvation Jesus accomplished for you. And Paul says here in Philippians 2 to work that out. The Holy Spirit has put it in you. Now Paul says you bring it out by how you live. The salvation, the righteousness of Christ that's been put in you by the Holy Spirit, Paul says now go to work living that out, working that out in your daily living. The Greek word translated here, work out, as in work out your salvation, the Greek word is a word that was used in Paul's day to describe getting the most out of a mine, right? So you can picture, you have a gold mine, and you go to work. You work it out. You put in effort. The gold is not just going to come out of the mine. You've got to go to work to get every bit of the gold you can. You got to pull it out of the mine. In a similar way, Paul says, work out the salvation that has been put. You've got spiritual gold in you. And now Paul says, work out this salvation by the way you live. Let's see if we can illustrate that a bit. Give me three people. Stickley, Jeremy, and Cindy. Come up here real quick. Just stand right here in a row. I promise you I won't embarrass you. At least not much. All right, so you are a tripart being. A tripart. You're made of three parts. Three. You're a three-part being, right? You are a body, a soul, and a spirit. So these three people are one person. All right, you got that? So, Stickley, we're going to make you the body. Jeremy, you're the soul. Cindy, you are the spirit, right? So we understand that each one of us is a body, soul, and spirit. We know that the body is the outer part of us that deals with the sensory world. The soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your ability to think, make decisions, to feel, that's your soul, right? This is the outer person. This is the inner person. This is the innermost part of you, your spirit. Now, before you are a Christian, before you hear the gospel, this part of you is dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins, right? You just can't do God's will because you are spiritually dead. But let's just say this person, right, they're one, they're in church one day, they're at Derrida Church, and they hear the gospel, they believe, and they get saved, right? So y'all tracking with me, right? So now, this spirit that was dead is alive in Christ and ready to serve. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is dwelling here, right? This is the innermost person. Now, the problem that we all have is that we have flesh. We have, and by flesh, the Bible doesn't mean flesh and blood, the body. Sorry, Jeremy, but it's the sinful nature. We still have a will, and thoughts and emotions that in many ways are still captive to sin, that have some sinful habits, right? Listen, let's just be honest this morning that we got a lot of saved folk in the church who are going to heaven, but you got some bad habits that haven't been broken yet, some sinful habits, some things that are not pleasing to God. Is that true? Amen? Okay, so what Paul is saying here is the salvation that has been put in the Spirit, work it out. Work it out. This soul now has to make a decision to bring what's in here out through the body in daily living. So, and it's work. If you've ever tried to change any kind of habit, anything, it's a lot of work. Amen? And so that's what Paul is talking about. What's been put here, this soul needs to say, okay, I'm gonna live it out through my body. Y'all tracking with me? You get that? Okay, very good. Thank you, guys. You guys are great. I appreciate it. Yeah, give him a hand. I'm going to double your salaries. All right. So, again, here's the path. The path is putting forth effort to obey the Lord. It's a, that soul has to say, you know what? I'm gonna do what's in my spirit. I'm gonna obey the Lord. It's work. And Paul says there at the end, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. We are still called to fear the Lord, saints. We're still called to have this reverential awe of Him. And that's just not simply an Old Testament thing. God is still holy, and we are to walk this path of obedience, knowing that we will one day stand before the Lord. Amen. So that's the path of change, to put forth effort to walk in obedience. Now I want you to see the power for change. And I love this part of the text today. I am personally encouraged and moved by it. And before we read it, just listen to this. What we just talked about, this path, can sound like a kind of works righteousness. But what Paul is about to say is that you do not put forth the effort to walk the path of obedience in your own strength. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 is amazing. Paul says in verse 14, for it is who?
God.
It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. You don't do this work of walking the path of obedience in your own strength. God is at work in you, enabling you to work out or to live out your salvation. For it is God who works in you. The word works there means energy, that God supplies the energy. God supplies the power. Listen to some similar verses. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says this. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Right? Jude, verse 24 says this. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. What is Jude saying there? Jude is saying that God is going to so work in you that He's going to make sure you get to that day when you stand before Him without fault. So whatever faults you got now, whatever flaws you have now, Jude says that God is working in you to bring you to that day according to His power. He's going to bring you to that day where you stand before Him without fault. I love that. Philippians 1:6, we read this a couple of weeks ago. By the way, this is my, I don't know if people do life verses anymore. Does anybody here have a life verse? Do y'all know what I mean by that? Maybe that's the Baptist in me. Y'all know what I mean by a life verse? A life verse is a place in Scripture, a verse of Scripture or two, that particularly speaks to you. And you just kind of walk with it your whole life. You just keep going back to it and back to it. Philippians 1:6 is my life verse. If you get a birthday card from me, often I'll put Philippians 1:6 underneath my name. And here's what it says. The Apostle Paul writes, being confident, there's no doubt about this, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying God's going to keep working with you and working with you and working with you because He's done a work in your spirit. And when you mess up, He's going to keep working with you. When you fail, He's going to keep working with you. When you are just disobedient and ornery and just not doing the right thing, He's going to keep working with you and working with you and working with you. And He's going to bring you to that day where you are complete when the day Jesus Christ comes. That's good stuff, isn't it? So now this puts in the right light Paul's exhortation to work out your salvation. This is not some grim, heavy-duty law. This is go to work, put forth effort to walk in obedience because there's a power. The power of God is working in you to walk in God's will. That's good stuff, isn't it? Well, it gets even better because God's power Paul says here in the text, not only works at the level of our doing, right? He enables us to do God's will. That is, he gives us the strength to overcome our sinful flesh and to actually do what we're supposed to do. But Paul says here in the text, and this is amazing to me, he also works at the level of our want to. Listen, if we're honest, sometimes we don't want to do the holy thing. We don't want to do the right thing. We don't want to do the faithful thing. But God works in you to even help you want to do what's right. So if you have an area of your life where at one time you were not walking in the will of God, and then you started to just want to, even before you changed anything about your life, if you can look at something and say, I want to change that about me. Paul says that is evidence that the power of God is working in your life. Amen. And he brings you to the place where you want to change, and then he enables you to change. That is just astonishing and wonderful to me. And if you have something in your life right now, right, you might be here this morning thinking, you know what, I need to change X, Y, Z about my life, but I don't really want to. Paul is suggesting here that the place to begin is just by asking God, would you just give me the desire to change this? I really don't want to change it because this sin right now is feeling kind of good. But if you just give me the want to, and he will do it. He will do that for you. All right, so we've seen the path of change, the power to change. Third and finally, I want you to see the purpose of change. See the purpose of change. Because this isn't all for nothing. Look again at verses 14 into the beginning of verse 16. Here's what Paul writes. Paul writes, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. So, what is the purpose of putting forth effort to walk in obedience to Jesus, knowing that the power of God is working in you to want God's will and to do God's will? What is the purpose of all this? Here's the purpose. Paul states, the purpose is to make our lives shine as witnesses for Jesus. To make our lives shine as witnesses for Jesus. The more you walk in obedience to Jesus, the more you are changed by the Holy Spirit to be like Jesus. The more you walk in obedience to Jesus, the more your life will shine as a witness for Jesus. Jesus once said, "You are the light of the world." And as we walk in obedience by the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives shine as witnesses for Jesus. The problem is, like any light, our light, the light of our lives, can be bright or it can be dim. And that's Paul's concern here, that if we don't do this well, if we don't focus on this, our witness will be dim and the work of the church will be ineffective. And so Paul starts this section about our lives shining as a witness for Jesus by saying in verse 14, do everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Now, just pause there. This seems a little odd because Paul has been giving us this high theology. Obey the Lord. The power of God is working in you. Then all of a sudden, he drops and goes, don't grumble or complain. Don't argue with each other. Now, what is that all about? Paul says, don't grumble. We grumble when things get hard. We argue. Arguing is caused by a group of people grumbling, right? So he's saying don't grumble, don't complain, and don't argue. The emphasis is on the grumbling. The grumbling causes the arguing. Paul tells us not to grumble and argue because walking in obedience is really hard. When you decide you're going to walk in obedience to the Lord, even though you have the power of God working in you, it's still hard work. Your sinful flesh will fight back. I mean, just think about all the times you said, you know what, this year I'm going to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And you get about two books in and it just gets really, oh no, I just don't have time for this anymore. I mean, it's hard. And when things get hard, we have a tendency to grumble and complain and give up. Grumbling and complaining hurts our witness and dims our light. And so Paul warns us that as you and I seek to walk in obedience to the Lord, that we should do everything, everything without grumbling or arguing. Over the years, I've been privileged to pastor people who work in the restaurant industry as servers. And I've been told that many of them hate working on Sunday. They hate working on Sunday not only because they miss Sunday worship, but mostly because the crowd that comes into the restaurant after church can be some of the most impatient, short-tempered, hard-to-please, complaining customers. Right? So imagine it. You are an unbeliever working in a restaurant on a Sunday. In comes the church crowd. And they're just grumbling and playing around. Did my steak and this and that doesn't really draw them to Jesus. And so Paul says, look, don't mess up your witness by grumbling and complaining and arguing. Do all things. Walk this out. Obey the Lord without grumbling and complaining because it dims your light.